Hello and praise God. I'm Pastor Mark Choate of House of Praise, New England Pentecostal Ministries. Right now, I am praying that you receive the words of encouragement that God has placed in my spirit today. I hope you enjoy the message. Have a blessed day. I thank God because God is an awesome God. And I thank God because He is unmatched in love. God is unmatched in love. And today's message God has placed in my spirit for the people is to encourage you even in a time of sorrow. And I began to pray and I said, Lord, what is going on in my spirit? And God is saying that there are broken hearts. People that are feeling lonely and left without a hope. When you look at the situation that's going on in society, everybody needs help. Doesn't matter what kind of finances you have, there's something that's going on in your life where you need help. The message that God placed in my heart is a prayer of unmatched mercy and love. A prayer of unmatched mercy and love. I'm first going to read from Psalms 34:18. It says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. He saves those that are crushed in spirit. What is so wonderful about God? He's waiting to be your Savior. When God placed this word into my spirit, I began to pray and said, Lord, I feel a heaviness in my spirit, and I don't know where it's coming from. And God has shown me that the people throughout society are struggling with forgiveness. It hurts. See, forgiveness hurts, but unforgiveness kills. When I say unforgiveness kills, there's a spirit that's going on in society, even in the churches where there's so many broken hearts, where people are sitting in the church and not finding liberation. But in the midst of God, in the midst of His presence, there is deliverance and liberation, said the Lord God. In the midst of His people, there's power. There's power and strength. So it says the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. When I began to see this word, He said He saves you. Some of us are going through some things in our life and we're saying there is no help for me. But God said He saves those that are crushed in spirit. So I want to encourage the body today, the saints, to let you know that there is a sorrow that you're facing. But even on the cross, when Jesus was suffering pain in His body, He dug in deep enough to forgive. Seems like things are going on in our lives and it's hard to forgive one another. It says in Luke 23:34, it says, Jesus said, forgive them for they do not know what they are doing. When I begin to see this, this is what Jesus was looking down on. Jesus was looking down from the cross upon a scene that must have been distressing to Him. Jesus was on the cross looking down on a scene, and this is what He's seen. The Roman soldiers were gambling on His clothing. The Roman soldiers were gambling on His clothing. The criminals on the cross on either side were rivaling Him. And listen to this. It says the religious leaders were mocking Him. This is the scene that Jesus was facing on the cross. He was dying for the world and dying for our sins. He sacrificed it all. And what was going on around him, even the church, they were mocking him. And some of us want to give up our salvation when a few things go wrong. But Jesus is saying that he had died. His death was not in vain. His death was for restoration. His death was for revival. His death was for strength. His death was so that you can be restored. So some of us that are in here today have been facing situations in your life, and what you're trying to do is you're trying to find hope in substance, hope in relationships. But when all fails, do you trust in the Lord? This is what God is saying. When all fails, is your trust in him. So when Jesus was looking down from the cross, he seen them gambling, and they were also, the crowd was blaspheming him. So they were mocking him. Some of us today, somebody doesn't agree with us, and we don't want to be around them anymore. Someone does not see it the way we see it, and we don't want to be in fellowship with them anymore. This is what's going on in the church, just like it's going on in your own personal family. Somebody has hurt you, and now you're offended, and instead of you bearing the burden, you have run from the situation. But what God is saying, he is trying to bring life, like I always say, and bring it more abundantly. He's here to claim the brokenhearted. He's here to revive you today. Hallelujah. He's not just here because he's a God Almighty, but he's your Savior. He's here to take care of your personal needs, your personal situation. There's something that you've been crying on the midnight hour saying, Lord, I need help with. And he said, I'm here for the brokenhearted. I'm here, my death on the cross, even though they were gambling for my clothes, and the church was mocking me, I still did it all just for you. Amen. Give God some praise in here. Hallelujah. It's one thing to sing about the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for you, but it's more than that when you can see him in the midst of your battle. When you can feel his presence when you're going through your storm, that's bigger than any song that you can sing, because now you feel the strength that comes from the word of God. This is why the church needs to get back into the Bible. The church is, you know what the church is all about now? Singing and having Hillsong and having, I heard on the radio the other day, and it was just someone on the radio talking, and they were talking about how churches are just concerts. And it hit me because everybody wants to be perfected in their praise, but nobody wants to be perfected in their lifestyle. He said, follow me and I'll make your fishers of men. The reason why church in our relationship with God is not enough, because we're not in relationship with God so that he can mend our broken heart. The drugs, the alcohol, the fear, the anxiety. The devil cannot resolve it. The world cannot resolve it for you. The drugs can't do it for you. You have to go straight to the throne. Amen? Now, the reason why I was reading the scene about the cross is this, because on the cross, it says that Jesus was looking down upon the scene. How many of you ever been in a situation where someone was talking about you and you just walked in and they got quiet and it even changed the conversation? Jesus was on the cross. He was on the cross and he was still alive. And as as he was on the cross, he seen his own people mocking him. And this is what God is saying today. We as a people of God have to change enough so that the glory may be revealed again upon the earth. It's not about form and fashion. It's not about just coming every week. It's about revealing the King. Revealing the one that was on the cross that died for you and me. When I was in my muck and when I was in the down and out, he reached down and saved my soul. Somebody give God some praise in here. How about you? Did God reach down and save your soul? Did he reach down and save your soul when nothing was going right in your life? Now, this is what God has brought to me as he revealed it to me. It says that Jesus was looking down on the scene. They were gambling. They were mocking him. And they even was blaspheming and speaking against his holiness. And some of us get worried when things ain't going our way. We leave the church. We leave our relationship. We leave our job. We leave everything. But God is saying he can do it for you, church. He can fix it for you. If the person or the situation don't change, God said he'll do it. That's why that scripture says that I read earlier in Luke. Psalms 34:18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Everyone read that with me. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. And save those who are crushed in spirit. See, save those that are crushed in spirit. Somebody's crushed in their spirit, said the Lord. You said, Lord, I've done everything right. I believe I have. I cried out to you and I sought you, but I am crushed. You know how what it is to be crushed in spirit? Crushed in spirit means that not only are you crushed in the physical, but you're crushed in your spirit, in your heart. I was watching a show, and it was a comedy show, and the gentleman was learning how to be a bartender. I was watching King of Queens, and he was learning how to be a bartender. And when he went to the bartending school, he said, the teacher told him this. He said, guess what? He said, your best client are the depressed clients. They're looking for you. He said, your best client is those that are down and out. You see how the devil is? He's waiting for you to be down and out because you're his best client. He said, you get the most tip when they're down and out. You see how the devil works? And you're ready to sell your salvation for one quick high, for one quick release from the situation. But God said, I'll remove it all and I'll restore you back. Amen. Praise God. Give God some praise up in here. Hallelujah. I just want to just get deep with you. Our children, family, friends, neighbors, and strangers all are all gifts to be savored. Although some days may be full of hardship and sadness, each breath, heartbeat, and thought illustrates the beautiful gift of life. Think about it. Each breath, each heartbeat, everything is a gift of God. Sometimes we're in the pain phase. It says here, times of grief and sorrow will visit on everyone and every person at a point in time. Believers aren't isolated from tragedies and pains and painful situations. You're not isolated. But God is here for you. And this is what we have to get in our spirit. This is not no picnic. To serve God means you have to be willing to fight. A good fight of faith. a good fight of faith. What happens when the person that you sit with every Sunday morning is gone? Are you still willing to fight a good fight of faith? What happens when your bills aren't being paid? Are you still willing to fight a good fight of faith? Reason why I'm telling you this, as I get ready to wrap up the message, I want to keep you long. Life situations will not change. And because life situation will not change, you now have to make a decision in your life. Forgiveness hurts, but unforgiveness kills. Because of our unforgiveness brings unbelief. Think about what you're going through and who did something to you. Maybe your father molested you. Maybe your mother left you homeless. Maybe you experienced an overdose and addiction. All these situations are tragic. But see, the hardship comes when you refuse to forgive. Because in forgiveness comes growth. In forgiveness comes your revival. In forgiveness comes your restoration. But let me let you know this, is that you will always be in prison to the situation that you're going through if you don't release yourself to forgiveness. Now think about it. When we looked at the picture of the cross, Jesus said this. He said, Jesus was looking down. He said, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Now I already told you what they were doing about to Jesus. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. So Jesus was being mocked and persecuted, and his resolve was, I'm going to forgive them. I'm praying for them, even though they're slanderizing my name and they're working against me. I'm going to forgive them. Because you know why he did this? Because his soul had to be right with God before he makes it in. Because remember, it says that Jesus was, he did it all for us. He even came down in the flesh. So when people tell you, well, you don't need to be saved that way. You don't have to be that serious about God. Jesus on the cross, on his deathbed, that was his deathbed, on the cross, he said, forgive them. He didn't say, Lord, why'd you do this to me? Why did you leave me like this? Why did you forsake me? You're my own father. But no, what Jesus did, he said, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Because, Lord, remember in the garden, he began to cry and said, Lord, if you will, take this cup from me. He was in pain. He came down in a human flesh like you and I. So when they pierced him in the side, he felt every pain. And he did it for you and me. They felt every pain. This is why revival needs to come in the hearts of the people of God. Restoration needs to come in the hearts of the people of God, because it's time to get out of playing church people and church of God. What we got to do is get true holiness. Now, know what it is about true holiness is this. True holiness does not have a color barrier, does not have a denomination. True holiness looks like Jesus. Somebody said, look like Jesus. Looks like Jesus, sounds like Jesus, speaks like Jesus. This is true holiness. Hallelujah. So many times we're chasing from denomination, church to church, trying to find a place to find fellowship. God said, if you know my voice, you will know who I'm with. I'm not with the ones at the big cathedrals and big cathedrals and all this. I'm with those that have already gone through the battle and already been fire baptized. And I'm not talking about water. I'm talking about fire baptized. Some of us need to be fire baptized because we need to be purified. The purification that I'm talking about is forgiveness. That means I know they did you wrong. I know they left you hanging. But you need to be purified so that your heart will be free. Stop. Jesus, God is saying this. He says, stop crying like you don't have hope. Hallelujah. Stop saying you don't have hope and see me in it. See me in it. See me in it, said the Lord God. Hallelujah. Who can praise him right now? Hallelujah. Who can praise him right now? See me in it. In your stress, in your distress situation, see me in it. Hallelujah. The word says, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. That means our own understanding leans us a certain way. But when you give your heart to God and say, Lord, I surrender to you. Hallelujah. Even though you're on the cross of suffering, you're suffering in your body. Some of us are suffering psychologically. Some of us are suffering spiritually, but Jesus said, I did it just for you. My suffering was for you. My revival is going to be just for you. Hallelujah. See, this is why churches stop doing speaking in tongues. Because when the Holy Ghost comes in, it's like a rushing fire. And it consumes everything that's in the place. Like Minister Annie said, there was a spirit trying to run through her house. And I'm telling you right now, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but there's other spirits. And we have to be ready. How many of you want to be ready? Say, thank you, Jesus. Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. How many of you have joy even though you're going through? Say, God, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. See, because when you, it says, trust not in anything else. We want to be in a good social surrounding. We want to be in churches where they're so socially together. But I'm telling you, you know what I thank God about? He is awesome. You know, when I think about his goodness and what he's done for me, he is awesome. I don't know about you, but I get joy when I think about him. What he's done for me, he is awesome. Hallelujah. So when he was suffering on the cross, and they were teasing him and mocking him. You know what Jesus did? He said, I forgive him. How about you with your family members? How about you with those that did you wrong? How about you with those on the job mocked you? Instead of you saying, Lord, forgive them. How about those in your relationships and marriages? Every one of us are facing things that we're going through. But God said, forgive them so that your heart may be free. Do not be envious. Do not have anger. Do not have hate. Just be free. Somebody said, just be free. Just be free. Speak to your spirit. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Jesus did it just for you. Hallelujah. I'm almost done. Hallelujah. Times of grief and sorrow will visit every person at some point of time. Believers aren't isolated from tragedies and pain and situations. However, because we have the Holy Spirit within us, we have hope that keeps us what? On movement. We have hope that's always there on time. And because of the overwhelming pressure of sorrow sometimes, we're often unaware of how our coping reflects our testimony. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're unaware how our coping reflects our testimony. So when you testify, that's why the devil wants to steal your speaking and saying something. Some of us been in a church and we refuse to say much. But when you testify about his goodness, oh, hallelujah, the devil don't like it when you testify how good God is. See, what the church, what the world doesn't need anymore, you know what they don't need? They don't need activists. This is what's wrong with our churches. We become activists. But God said, through loving kindness have I drawn all men unto me. Come on, say it. Through loving kindness have I drawn all men. It's not your activism. It's not you walking around with signs at an abortion clinic. It's you saying to that young lady that went into the abortion, listen, God loves you. You're going to be all right. Because Jesus said, I forgive all who have sinned. Because the Bible says all have sinned and fallen. What comes short of the glory of God? So I'm no better than you. You're no better than me. But guess what? I am brand new. You are brand new. Because Jesus did it. Hallelujah. And that's why I got to shout in my step, because I'm brand new, because I'm revived, I'm restored. Hallelujah. So Jesus is not dead. He's still alive. Hallelujah. I'm almost done. Hallelujah. I hope you're enjoying the word of God this morning. Give God some praise. Hallelujah. So give him a little bit of praise. We might weep for a while. The Bible clearly recognizes that there will be times of sorrow. This can't be avoided because of the sin that is in the world. See, even when God created creation in its best form, the devil showed up. So you can't come to this church and not see something go wrong. The devil, when he created the Garden of Eden, when he created mankind, guess what? The devil still showed up. God Almighty said it was good, and the devil still showed up. Some of us are looking for perfection and situation. Ask my wife, we've been married for how long?
28 years.
Now, 28 years, do you think 28 years went great all the time?
No.
Did we have a lot of work to do?
A lot of work.
What I'm saying is this. It can look perfect. It can smell perfect. It can be beautiful. But that rose is going to die and wither away one day. The only way anything will last is only what you do for Christ will last. Your relationship, only what you do for Christ will last. Your job, only what you do for Christ will last. And if you do it any other way, it's not going to last. You can take all the psychology courses. You can go to all the doctors you want. If God is not in it, you will not last. But I'm telling you right now, God is extending his hand because he's ready to bring you out. Hallelujah. Who's ready to be brought out? I'm ready to be brought out. And this is why I thank God, because see, the thing about God is this. Paul said, I got to die daily. So that means he said, I got to go before my Father and say, Lord, I am no good today. What we do as saints, I've been saved for 25 years, you know, and I know 9,000 scriptures. And I can quote them like this because I'm like that. See, we like to lift ourselves up. But God, hallelujah, Jesus was the son of the king, and he was in the manger. He said the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of God, has nowhere to lie his head. Some of us are crying today saying we don't have nothing. Jesus did it still. And then he became greater, and he was revealed. And even on the cross, he was mocked. So some of you are going to be mocked by your family members and say you're crazy and say it's not all that. But I'm telling you something, that on the cross, Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Hallelujah. You pray that prayer for your family members, those that hurt you, somebody that really, really violated you, somebody that turned their back and walked out on you. You have to go into that prayer. And I'm going to wrap it up with this here. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Matthew 6, 9 through 12. Hallelujah. See, and the thing about church is this. It's about being filled up. I don't know any of us that can drive a car without putting gas in it. Why do we think we need to go through the week without getting revived, restored, being filled up? When I come in the presence of God, I get filled up. When I see your face, I get filled up. When, you know, I was, you know, I thank God because I'm working with my father's church, NEP on the Hill, and we went there all week getting ready for the Martha Menezes and all this stuff, and all this stuff is going on there. And I see how we're getting ready for her to come and how we did for Donnie McClurkin. But imagine if Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. You would paint the walls. You would prepare the place. You would make it look good. Some of us got to look at it just like this when you come into the house of God. You're going before the King. See, and when you go before the King, you bring your best. Because only what you do for Christ will last. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Matthew 6, 9, and 12. And everybody heard this. But I want to wrap it up with this. It says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right here it says, Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You see, when God was talking to his disciples, we pray this prayer and we talk about this prayer. But God said, when you go down at night and pray, And I'm amazed because so many times we'll talk about, people will talk about prayer and talk about prayer warriors. You want to know a real prayer warrior? It's somebody that knows how to cry. Cry out to God. A real prayer warrior. They don't get caught up in the gossip and all this other stuff. A real prayer warrior sees that they're fighting against and wrestling against spirits. And they harness themselves in so that they focus on the battle at hand. And when you go before God, you go before him. Or you just soak. Or you cry and say, Lord, Father, I need strength. I need deliverance right now, Lord. I woke up today and it's another battle before me. But Lord, I know that you're able. Forgive me for my sins in my life. See, what we do is we pray about everybody else. Lord, straighten out my no good husband, my no good wife. They did me wrong. Straighten out that job. But what God is saying, you take it in for yourself and you pour out yourself to him and say, Lord, I need to change. Change my heart. Change my thinking. Change my ways. I know I've been saved for 20 years, but I'm still no good without you. This is the cross that he wants us to bear. How many are ready to sacrifice themselves to go all the way in Christ Jesus? He said, you see what I'm saying? Now, when I say sacrifice himself to go all the way in Christ Jesus, there was a song that says, we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is power. It is power unto salvation. Your situation might be embarrassing, but don't be ashamed because God is going to be glorified in it. Hallelujah. He's going to be glorified in it. Hallelujah. I want someone to go, Usher, go to my office near the trash can in my office, grab this big poster I have right in back in my office near the trash can. I want to show you this. You know, want to know why I want to show you? We go to work and we act a fool. We go to work and we act just like the people. At my company, I'm working for Lockheed Martin, and they decided they wanted to do a talent show. And they kept on asking me to be in it. And I said, no, that's fine. I could be a judge, maybe. I didn't want to be in it. They said, no. And they had VPs. They had everyone there. They had 500 people. They had a big tent. Everything set up. I'm going to have two people roll that out. Hold that. And I'm going to tell you something. I got a testimony in this. And this is a prophecy of what God is ready to do. And I said, Lord, this ain't real. This is what they gave me. And it says, the talent show for Lockheed Martin. And this was the site director. What we do, see, and then it brought me out in front of everyone after I sang the song. And everyone voted. And all the people, when I began to sing, you know what I didn't do? I could have went, you know what I could have done? I could have gone, here and now. I promise to love faithfully. I could have done that because that's the world. But what I did is that I said, you want me to sing? I'm going to sing about Jesus. And when I got the mic, I said, we're going to church right now. And I sung about how he freed me. He broke in the brokenhearted and he released me from my sorrows. And look it, I won. Give God some glory. Give God some glory. You can bring that up. Thank you. Thank you. Reason why I'm telling you this right now. It was with the VPs, the directors, everyone. And you know what they weren't doing? They weren't looking at me like, oh, this is strange. This is church stuff. You know what the whole tent did? None of the other ones that performed, they did nothing. When God got done, they were jumping. They were like clapping. And they were all surrounding me. You want to be like the world, but the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loveth the world, the love of God is not in you. So guess what? You're going to be glorified right now if you represent Jesus. Hallelujah. Everyone stand. If you represent Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because we're not ashamed. Hallelujah. And there's not a song. Hallelujah. 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 Did you enjoy the word today? Hallelujah. Did you receive something from it today? And so the bottom line, the thing I want you to remember is this. A prayer of unmatched mercy and love. Someone say that. A prayer of unmatched mercy and love. This is what Jesus did on the cross. So your prayer that you're to pray is for those that hurt you with an unmatched mercy. And see God free you. And see God revive and restore you. And I guarantee you this, like my wife and I'm going to go into what we went through. We years ago, the kids were young, we separated. And I even told the church, I'm done. I got my own place. Stay with my brother. And I said, I'm doing it. I went to the elders and I said, listen, I'm done. I'm not doing it anymore. And I was preaching and I was all this. And I said, Lord, you wasn't there for me. And I got all bitter and upset. And I began to give blame and do the blame game. But one night, God met me. And when God met me, he slayed me. And he said, stop worrying about yourself and give some love back. And he said, you know, if you get right, everything else will be right. And the reason why I'm sharing that is because church is not perfect, people. Every one of you are in a situation and we love you and we're going to bear you up. Regardless of what you go through. Amen, is that right? Come on, somebody say praise God. Someone say praise God. This is where liberation comes. The church is not a house of judges. Hallelujah. The church is not a house of judges. It's supposed to be full of doctors ready to lift those that are broken. And I end again with this prayer. It says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. Praise God. We hope and pray that you enjoyed that last message on Revival Today, our podcast. Please join us and come visit us at House of Praise at 1850 Elm Street, Manchester, New Hampshire. Sunday morning starts at 10 a.m. Be blessed and come visit. Wherever I go, my God came and cleansed my soul.